I bear you my testimony that I know beyond a shadow of a doubt that Joseph Smith is a true prophet of God, and that the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, the Mormon Church, is the only true church on the face of this earth. As a member of the Mormon Church, I honestly believe this testimony as I shared it with literally hundreds of people. I believe that my only chance at salvation was through Joseph Smith and his restored gospel. But I had Christian friends like yourself who were concerned about me, who prayed for me and shared with me things from the Word of God. And because of their love and because of Christ, I was able to come to know Him as my personal Lord and Savior. It all began on a beautiful spring day in the year 1820. A young 14-year-old boy by the name of Joseph Smith, Jr. went out in the woods near his home in Palmyra, New York, and while there delivered his first ever audible prayer. He went out in the woods to seek from the Lord what church he was to join of the churches in his neighborhood. Much to his surprise, he was visited by what he later described as two beings or personages. One of these claimed to be the Father, and the other was Jesus Christ himself. God and Jesus Christ supposedly visited Joseph Smith in those woods that day in 1820. They told him in answer to the prayer of what church to join that he was to join none of the churches, because all their creeds were an abomination, all their professors corrupt, and because they preach for the commandments of God, the doctrine of men. He was instead to restore the only true church to the world, which they believe has been lost ever since the end of the first century. This first vision, in which the Father and the Son visited Joseph Smith, was later followed by other angelic visitations, including those by the angel Moroni. The angel Moroni came to Joseph Smith in a vision and told him that near his home in Palmyra there was a hill Cumorah in which was buried these sacred golden plates which contained, written in Reformed Egyptian hieroglyphics, the actual records of the people who had inhabited the American continents prior to the time of the American Indians. Joseph Smith went to that hill and was able to dig up these golden plates, which through the gift and power of God, he claims, was later able to translate what is now called the Book of Mormon. This sacred scripture stands in the same place to the Mormon as a Bible does to us. It is scripture straight from God. In the years to follow, other sacred books were added, including the Doctrine and Covenants and the Pearl of Great Price. The Book of Mormon was first published in 1830. It was that very year that Joseph Smith, along with eight charter members, organized the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, or the Mormon Church. From those eight people in 1830, the church now has over 6.5 million members worldwide. The church's headquarters was moved from New York to first Kirtland, Ohio. Later it was moved to Independence, Missouri, and finally to the banks of the Mississippi River in a town called Nauvoo, Illinois. It was there that Joseph Smith was put in jail for destroying a press that was critical of his theology and practices. And in a gun battle between he and a mob of people, Joseph Smith was killed. At this time, the church broke into several factions, but the largest faction was headed up by the man Brigham Young. Brigham Young took the Latter-day Saints and moved them to the Utah Territory. It was there that the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints grew to its present size and is the current world headquarters for the organization. Through their influence and public relations campaign, the Mormon Church has a very polished image to the public. In fact, most people, including many Christians, are unaware that Mormon theology is so radically different from Christian theology. And I think it's important, before we go any further, that we take a quick look at Mormon theology. Mormonism is based on the idea that God, our Heavenly Father, once lived as a mere man on another planet, somewhere in the distant part of the universe, near a star called Kolob. Here he grew up as a man. He sinned, repented, became obedient to the doctrines of the Mormon Church, and at his death, he was resurrected and was able to obtain through good works the status of godhood. He is now one of many other gods who have likewise worked their way up from being men to becoming gods. And in fact, the heart and soul of Mormonism is that any member of the Mormon church who is worthy, who doesn't drink coffee and tea, who visits the temple and goes through the secret temple ritual, who maintains his worthiness, can himself one day become a god or goddess of his own planet. Now, this is the foundation of Mormon theology, and this is what separates it from Christian theology. It's important to realize when dealing with Mormons that not only have they changed the meaning of the word God, but almost all Christian words, they have their own special Mormon meaning. They've changed the word God to mean a being who used to be a man who is one of many gods scattered throughout the universe. They've done the same thing with the word gospel. So what we mean by the word gospel and what they mean are two different things. Mormons without fail believe that the gospel is a combination of faith plus works. In other words, in order to make it to the highest degree of heaven, to be with your Heavenly Father, you've got to be obedient to certain laws and ordinances. It's a salvation by works. So always define your terms. Secondly, one needs to realize that there are three basic types of Mormons, three categories that almost every Mormon falls into. The first category, the bottom level, is the true believer. This person knows Mormonism is true. He's not open to discussion. He's totally closed. He doesn't want to hear anything you have to say. He knows it's true. The second Mormon, the next higher level, has questions. This person's come across some materials, or he has had a Christian friend witness to him, or perhaps he's heard Billy Graham's sermon, and he has some questions about the church, about the true nature of the gospel. Now, he's still a true believer, but he has some questions. The next higher level is the doubter. This person has serious problems with Mormonism. Now, he might still attend the church. His family members might all be members in good standing. And from the outward appearance, you would never know. But deep down inside, he really knows that the church is not true. This person is ripe for the gospel. Well, I want to draw your attention to a Bible verse that I think is very important in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, the first two verses. The Apostle Paul had this to say, "And I, brethren, when I came to you, came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and Him crucified." Well, you might not know everything about Mormonism. You might not be an expert on their history or theology. But the crucial element that it always comes down to is the same thing the Apostle Paul said, Jesus Christ and Him crucified. In other words, who is Jesus Christ, the person of Christ, and the nature of the atonement, His person and His work. You need to understand that it is very difficult to witness to Mormons. Oftentimes it takes months or even years to lead a person who's in the Mormon church to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. So our expectations don't need to be extremely high. Before you go directly to the gospel presentation, I would encourage you to make certain of those two facts that the Apostle Paul brought up, Jesus Christ and Him crucified, because there's such a terminology difference. Oftentimes, if we're not careful, the Mormon is hearing something totally different than what we're trying to tell them, and they will end up possibly making a false decision because they are interpreting everything you say through Mormon dictionaries, through the Mormon understanding. So I would take a few moments to clarify the deity of Christ and the atonement by grace through faith alone. First, the deity of Christ. The Mormons, like any cult, are against the deity of Christ. But the Mormons do it in a way that is sometimes a little misleading. Many Mormons would be happy to say that Jesus Christ is God, but they have perverted the meaning of the word God. They make Him one of many gods throughout the universe, a god just like any Mormon can become. So I think, first of all, it's important to understand the Bible teaches that there is only one God. In order to do that, I would take the person to Isaiah 43:10, and I would read them this passage. "Ye are my witnesses, saith the Lord, and my servant whom I have chosen, that ye may know and believe me and understand that I am he. Before me there was no God formed, neither shall there be after me." The Mormon can see from this very verse that there's only one true God in all the universe, not many gods. Christianity is based on monotheism, one God, not polytheism, many gods. And so I would establish that and make certain that that Mormon understands that from the very outset. And then when actually dealing with the plan of salvation, if the Mormon is willing to pray to receive Jesus Christ as his or her personal Lord and Savior, I would place special emphasis on the fact that salvation is by grace through faith. Because the average Mormon is convinced that what we're required to do by God is to find the only true church, join it, and then do the set of works, the list of requirements that will earn us salvation. So when you go through the plan of salvation in leading that person to the Lord, pay close attention to this and place special emphasis on the fact that salvation is a free gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. I hope this information has been useful to you, and I pray that God will use this in a witnessing situation.